today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my book titled, Jesus Did It For You. I'm excited about this book because it focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Everything Jesus did, he did for our benefit. So many have only a limited knowledge of what belongs to them because of the price Jesus paid for our redemption. He became sin so we could be made righteous. He became poor so we could be made rich. He was beaten so we could be healed and walk in health. He carried our sorrows so we could have fullness of joy. This is just a glimpse of what you'll find in Jesus Did It For You. I also share what's included in your heavenly benefits package and give practical insight on how to receive, apply, and enjoy the inheritance God has freely given you. You can receive your copy of Jesus Did It For You for only $11.95 at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TheWordCC.com, or you can call 318-442-8100. The book is also available in hardcover and Kindle versions. Order your copy today. Jesus Did It For You. Thank you.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
required for recovering. Something that is gained in recovery. So you need to know that sometime in order for you to recover, it's going to take a little time. Okay? And just because you don't bounce back immediately and things don't turn around immediately, you got to realize that God is still working things out, and he's working other things other than just your situation to work it out. So when Romans 8:28 says, and we know, not we think, not we feel, not we hope, not we pray, and we know that all things work together for how? For good. Now it works for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to what? His purpose. Here's another thing. You can't force God to do what you want him to do. You can't force God to make his will your will. You have got to learn how to bend and blend your will with God's will. And so sometime when we've walked out of God's will and tried to do it our own way, God will listen, when you're removed from his covering, you no longer have his protection. You no longer have his peace. You no longer have his power. You no longer have his provisions. You no longer have all of those things that God gives you under his covering when you walk away from that. So then things start happening in your life. Your world starts crumbling when you come from under the covering of God. And so sometimes when you walk out of that covering, when you walk out of his will, you may take a minute to get back into that place where all of those things you've lost because of bad decisions, because of going down the wrong road, because of making choices in the flesh rather than the choices of faith, then those things have to be recovered. And sometime when the enemy take your stuff, he runs far and fast.
Yeah, come on, come on.
Y'all not hearing me. And so sometimes God has to reach a little further than where you dropped it at, or it was lost at, or taken from, because the enemy has taken it and run. But if God's going to restore it, he's going to recover it, he has to find it. Sometime your car might be, if it's ever been stolen from the place it's been stolen from, 9 out of 10 times, it's not right around the corner. Amen. Are y'all hearing me here? When the thief steals it, he tries to remove himself far from the place where it was stolen at. And so even if he does find a hiding place close around, it's going to be a hiding place. It's not going to be exposed and sitting out, depending on his purpose for stealing. So when the enemy, and all he comes for is to steal, kill, and destroy. Every time the enemy comes up, shows up in your life, that's his agenda. He's not coming to play with you, have fellowship with you, love you. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. So sometime when that happens, you've got to realize it takes some time to get it back. And then an improvement, recovery. An improvement marking the end of a recession or decline. See, sometime what you got to realize is when God puts you in a place of recovery, it marks, listen, the end of a recession. You, in other words, you can start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. You, hope starts rising up on the inside. You begin to feel this thing. I got a feeling everything. Yeah. It marks the end of a recession or a decline. All right, now that we've gotten the definition of recovery out the way, let's move on a little further. There are some synonyms: regain, reclaim, recuperate, restore, reconstruction. Those are just some synonyms that go with recovery. Now, why is all of that important? Because it's important for you to understand the keys to recovery. If you never understand the keys, you cannot unlock your situation. Okay? That's why I try to teach us principles. And principles, when we understand them, we can practice them. When we practice them, we profit from them. When we profit from them, it is the direct result of us operating in a law or a principle that God has to back up when we do our part. In other words, if he's no respecter of persons, whoever obeys and honors the keys to his principles, God has got to honor his word. He's got to do it because that's what he said he'll do. You do your part, God has got to do his part. And how many of you know he'll do his part? Okay, let's look at some of the keys to recover. First thing you need to know is that you've got to refocus. Because one of the things that we miss, how things became messed up in the first place, is because we lost our focus. We've lost our focus. When you lose your focus, it literally means that you place it in another place or in another position. The problem with that is that when we move our focus off of God, our affections and our feelings are connected with our focus. In other words, whatever you become endeared to, whatever you become attached to, it's because you have focused on it. When you focus on it, and it depends on how intense the focus is, you become more involved in the focus process. The more you bring something into focus as in clarity, the more you see or discover about the thing you're focusing on. As it becomes more and more clear, you then notice that you like something more and more about what you've discovered. And the more time you spend focusing, you will find things that keep you connected. When you choose to remove your focus from that, it can no longer hold you the same way it did when you were focused on it. Let me give you a good example. Everybody look at this monitor right here. You're looking at it, right? Now look over there by Brother Greg over there. Now, the image that you were just focusing on is lost in your mind. Come back to the monitor. Now it's right back on your mind. You see what's on there. Even though you know all of these words, once you take your focus off and put it over there, you are no longer focusing, and no longer is what is here clear, and it is still having the same weight or the same value to you because you've chosen to refocus. Now, when we remove our focus off of God, here's what people miss, that when God is not the center and citadel of your true focus, your true desire, if God is not the essence of what is real in life to you, then what you have refocused on becomes your God. Hear this well. You may not consciously call it your God, but anything you spend more time with, more involved with, give more of your heart to, and fix yourself on becomes your God. He said he's a jealous God. He wants nothing or no one before him. So that means you have to go back and put God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And then what will happen? All these things will what?
Added
unto you. Why? Because you're focused on God. Wherever God is, everything that you want and need is there also. That's why, because as he is our source, he is also our supplier. So he's one-stop shopping. For every believer, I don't care what your situation is, don't let the devil fool you and take your focus off of God, because everything that's worth living for, everything that's worth having, everything that's worth enjoying, everything that adds value and benefit to your life is with God. I can promise you anything that's in another direction, in another place, in another phase of life, in any other position is temporary, and it comes from the enemy to take your focus off of God, because what the enemy does not want is you to be so connected that you know that everything that's worth living, every good and every perfect gift comes from where? Not from Satan, not from this world, not from man, not from money, not from any material or temporal thing. It comes from above, from God. So if every good and if every perfect gift comes from above, then why are you looking everywhere else? Because if it's good, it comes from above. If it's perfect, it comes from above. So the question becomes, what are you looking for? What do you really want? So the first key to recovery is refocus. Somebody say refocus. God first. Next, we have to review. Because once you refocus, then you have to review God's word. It goes back. Listen, when you get connected with God, then the next thing you need to begin refocusing and reviewing on is his word, because he is the essence of his word. In other words, he reveals his mind to you through his written word. You want to really get close to God? Get in the word. You want to know how God feels about stuff? Get in the word. You want to remind yourself, refresh yourself, encourage yourself, strengthen yourself, bless yourself? Review God's word. Listen, he has not given us another word, because this word is sufficient. This word is sufficient. And when you read it one time, I promise you, the second time you're going to get more out of it than you did the first time. And the 20th time that you've read it, you will say, man, this thing gets better every time I read it. Review, 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 review. Listen what happened. If you spend more time in reviewing God's word, if you spend more time making sure that I'm clear about what God says, the less time the enemy will have to be able to defeat you. The less time the enemy will have time to influence you, impact you, or affect you. Because when you put that time in the word of God, God's people perish for what?
A lack of knowledge.
Where are you going to get the knowledge from? The word of God. His word is true. His word is pure. His word is life. And so if you really want life underneath the skin and above the skin, you're going to have to review God's word. Why? Because it's in the reviewing of God's word. That's why every day, Psalm 1 says, so important, and many of you know that, that when a man is really blessed, he's blessed because he spends time meditating in the word of God day and night. That's review. He's reviewing God's word. One of the reasons why it's reviewing, because you've already viewed it. Once you viewed it once, then everything after that is
review.
The question becomes, how often do you review? See, because if you review it often enough, it'll get in your spirit. And when it gets in your spirit, listen at this, it begins to take life shape, life form. When it becomes a part of you, you don't have to rely just on what's written in the word. You rely on the word that has now become alive in you. See, the Holy Ghost, I've shared this a million times with the believers, runs on the tracks of God's word. The question is, have you laid the proper tracks for the Holy Ghost to run in your life? He's like the train. And listen at this. He doesn't go where tracks aren't laid. It doesn't make sense. He cannot go. You can't pull up what you haven't put down. When you want something to say, if you've not reviewed God's word, guess what you're going to say? Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And you come on with all these good cliches, and they sound good, but they are not the word of God. They may be the essence. You know, folk have come together and put this together and say, this sounds good. But listen, God is only under warranty to back up what he said. And so when you go back to that word and you review it enough, you know, people right now who can't quote scriptures, I mean, it ain't really a memory loss or a memory issue. It's a review issue. Stay in it enough, and I promise you, you'll be able to quote it. Stay in it enough, I promise you, you'll be able to say where it comes from. Stay in it enough, and you'll realize that when you go into it enough, it comes into you enough, and you will have what the word says you have. So you've got to learn how, in the steps of recovery, to review. Why is that important? Because without God's word, you do not have God's promises. Without God's word, you do not have God's provisions. Without God's word, you do not have God's peace. Without God's word, you do not have all of the things that God himself said are yours through his word. So that's another thing that you must understand. Now, these are placed in order for you to understand. Then you've got to remove. Listen at this. There are some things you cannot remove from your life until you've refocused on God. And until you have gotten enough word in you to strengthen you to remove some stuff. Because the devil has what's called strongholds. There are some areas in your life God knows you don't want to do them. It's like, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. But when you get in the word enough and get the Spirit of God in you moving and operating on God's word, because he's the one who empowers that word, enlivens that word, makes that word come true, give to you what God says that word possesses for you. And so you've got to know it in order to expect it. And so when you are able to do it, then you can come against Satan. Then you can, you know, speak the word against Satan. Because the only thing Satan is going to really be fearful of and be submissive to is the word of God. Jesus proves this again when he is tempted in the wilderness after a 40-day fast. The Holy Ghost is upon him, anointing him. And every trial and tribulation and situation that he deals with, he says, it is written. And he removes every obstacle and every opponent because of the power of the word that's on the inside of him. See, there are some things that you've been trying to work out, you've been trying to fix, you've been trying to get straight, you've been trying to get right, you've been trying to deal with, and you've not been able to be successful in it because the first two steps have either been out of order or not been followed. God first. Refocus back on God. It's got to be about him. Then you've got to review his word. You've got to get back in this word, because what Satan has done is he has tried to make that word of non-effect in your life. What he has done is tried to make that word dull in your life so that you don't seek that word to be what God has said and that God will bring to pass. And the devil has, listen, that's one of the reasons why when we miss it, the devil, first thing he wants to do is get us out of fellowship. If I can keep them out of church, if I can keep them away. Well, let me retract that. Not keep them out of church, keep them out of a word church. Where the word is going forth, where the word is going to convict, where the word is going to open their eyes, where the word is going to give them direction, where the word is going to give them encouragement, where the word, and see, if he can keep you out of that kind of fellowship where the word is constantly presented, if he can take you out of the place where you stop listening to the word, be it, you know, tapes or Christian programming or Christian music, if he can get you away from word in any form, that he's gotten you away from that God himself is going to bring to pass in your life. And so you got to learn how to remove ungodly things from your life when you become strong. Listen to what Jesus tells Peter. He says, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. He says, but what has happened? I have prayed for you. And then listen to what he tells him. He says, and when thou art what? Converted, strengthen thy brother. Now he knows Peter had some things Peter had to remove from his life, like fear, like doubt, all of these other things that hindered him from walking in the word and the will and the way of God. But he says, when you're converted, which means there is a process. That's a process to recovery. Peter was going to lose within himself the place and the honor and the prestige of being who he was to the Lord because he walked out of the word, he walked out of the will, he walked out of the way, he walked out of the covering or from under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fell flat on his face. And he wept bitterly. Why? Because the things that Jesus told him was going to happen, and he thought they wouldn't. But as long as ungodly things are a part of you, they can keep the godly things from coming to pass for you. Yeah. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. There are some things, listen at this, that God is not going to remove for you. Why do you think you're still dealing with some of the stuff you're dealing with? Because here's God's point of view on this. Well, take your scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name. Now here's what they need to do. Shall one, humble themselves. Two, pray. Three, seek my face. Four, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now listen to this. This is a progressive structure. The first thing they've got to do is humble themselves. Once you've humbled yourself, then you can pray. You can talk to God. You can be real with God. You can admit to God you messed up. You are a mess up. All the rest of the stuff that's in your life is not. You can talk to him because you've humbled yourself. Pride is not standing in the way. You're not trying to act like you all of that. You're being real with God and saying, God, you know better than I know, but I'm confessing it. And then you're seeking his face. But then the ultimate part is he says, turn from your. He's not going to turn you away from your wicked ways. Here's what he knows. When you get ready to turn, you're going to turn. And if he turned you, you'd be no more than a robot, which means that he would alter your will. He would make it his will arbitrarily, which means then that you've not submitted and become submissive to him. He forced it on you. God don't want that. God wants you to love him and want you to get it right and do right and be right because you love him, not because he had to beat you down and make it happen. And so there's just some things he's not going to do, you got to do for yourself. So when you come to that point where you're ready at the third point to remove ungodly things from your life, then that's where he will heal your land. He starts bringing prosperity in your life. Okay, let's look at something else now. I know we've got to go, so I'm going to bring these out real quick to you. Then on the flip side of that, you've got to renew some things in your life. First thing is you've got to renew God's power in your life. Why is that so important? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, if God is ordering your steps, he's also got to give you the power to be able to make those steps. Amen. I don't care. There may be giant steps. There may be little steps. But all of them are powered by the Lord. In other words, God never gives you an assignment without an anointing. Every anointing is given with an assignment. And so if God says you are to do this or to do that, he's giving you the power to do it. Don't worry about all of the issues that may come in your face and in your view. God's already anointed you to be able to do that. Not only must you renew, but you must recognize, reclaim, and resume God's purpose. See, there are three different words here. Recognize. Somebody is in a place where they ought not be and cannot be recovered because they have not yet recognized God's purpose for their lives. Amen. See, you don't really come into the fullness of who you are and be what God wants you to be until you recognize your purpose. Man, then God begins to bring you into some places, bring you into your own, give you a confidence that the enemy can't steal, because once you connect with your purpose, you know it is God's will for your life. And if it is God's will for your life, then God's got to bring that thing to pass. Then some of us have known our purpose, but we've given it up. We've let the devil take it from us. It's been removed from our consciousness, and we've got to reclaim our purpose. Because here's what you've got to know. God hadn't changed his mind. But you have got to reclaim, this is what God has told me to do. This is the ministry God has for me. This is the purpose for which I exist. You've got to reclaim that. And then thirdly, many of us may not have given it up, but we might have just stopped. Amen. Might have become so discouraged where we've not moved since whatever hit our lives. And so God is saying, you've got to resume. You've got to get busy again. You've got to step forward. Keep making steps toward that purpose that God has called you for. And it is God's purpose that brings to fruition everything that is worth anything in your life. So whether or not you're recognizing, reclaiming, or resuming God's purpose, it is the purpose that God himself empowers in every believer's life that makes your life worth living. Worth living. And here's what you need to know. His purpose is not always preaching or being a deacon or deaconess or being in ministry as we know it. His purpose for your life may be off the chart as we know it, out of the box as we know it, not the same old as usual. Don't lock yourself into what you think might be your purpose. Let God reveal it to you. Let him show you it. Let him say to you, let him give you that revelation, because you might be missing God because you're trying to turn God in the direction you think your purpose is. And here's what you need to know. Anything that God purposes you to do, like I said, he gives you power to do it, but he's already probably given you the ability, and you're already working in it or close to it. Amen. He's probably already given you a passion for it. He's probably already given you all the signs and all of the things that when you just say, Lord, show me and not let me show you what I won't do. And you begin to see this. And then lastly, see, you can't be really restored and recovered if you never do this last thing, if you never rejoice, if you never give God thanks and praise and glory. And here's what you need to know about this last word, that you don't have to wait till the battle is over. You don't have to wait till you come into full recovery. You don't have to wait till morning come. Even in the nighttime, while weeping is that place and you're enduring through this situation, you can decide to turn your midnight into middays even before morning comes. Morning is coming. It's coming. But you ain't got to wait till morning come to get your joy, to get your praise, to give God thanks. And that's what the devil does not want you to know. More importantly, does not want you to do. Because when you start rejoicing, listen, you bring in the presence of God. Because when you rejoicing, God has to be present to receive it. You bring him closer in your praise. If he inhabits it, then that means he's got to get inside your praise. And you've got to make your praise glorious. You were created to make his praise. Listen, when the devil makes you cry, you need to turn those tears into tears of joy. You need to realize.